How are you guys doing? I am so excited to talk about the subject we have tonight. We're in Mark, and Jack and Brandon have done a really good job of unloading and telling the story of Mark. And Mark is a pretty cool book because it unloads in a very cool story through stories about the character of who God is. And his power and his purposes, and so it's so cool that I get to talk to you about God's power tonight. So I'm not a storyteller like Mark, but we're going to dive into the scriptures tonight, and we're going to have fun finding out about God's power and how it relates to us. And so we're just gonna start. Who doesn't like a good boat ride? We live in the desert, but who doesn't like a good boat ride? And so, just to set the context, the story tonight is in the Sea of Galilee. And if you've been around church or been in the Bible, the Sea of Galilee, lots of cool things happen here. But I went in and I found out some history and some geography here of why things happen at the Sea of Galilee. And so, the Sea of Galilee sits 700 feet below sea level. That's pretty low. And then 30 miles away, there is a 9,200-foot mountain that is right there. And so all the cold air coming off that mountain and all the warm air coming off the Sea of Galilee hits, and some wonderful disasters happen. Lots of thunderstorms and squalls, and the fishermen and the disciples were very familiar with this kind of storm. And so we're going to get your boarding pass ready. We're going to put a little boat on the screen, and we're going to just walk through as I read the scripture. We're going to just imagine what it would be like for a short time, what the disciples experienced on a boat on the Sea of Galilee during this storm. Our text tonight is Mark 4, if you want to go there. Mark 4, 35. Do we have a boat yet? Oh, there it is. Let's feel the rockiness, and if it's making you sick, just close your eyes and listen. This is a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and I think, what a wonderful YouTube video. I mean, I'm getting a little nauseous. All right, hold on. All right, here, I'll read the scripture. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this?" Even the wind and the waves obey him. So two things right there caught my eye. Is God, as Jesus said, a simple command. He gave a simple command. He didn't roll up his sleeves, make a big production, say, "A la cabra," you know, boom. He just said two words or three words. "Quiet, be still." That's it. Quiet, be still. He said, "Quiet, be still" to a hurricane. The weather was acting like an unruly child, and all he said was, "Be still." And guess what? The second amazing thing is, and astonishing to me, is the storm obeyed like an obedient child. The wind died down, and it went completely and utterly calm. If you've ever gone on an ocean liner or a boat, the rock vector. I got the chance to go on a cruise to St. Thomas area when I was in eighth grade, and my grandfather collected enough aluminum cans for us to go on a cruise, and he took our whole family, my mom and my dad and my sister and his wife, to the Bahamas. And I was like, "This is cool. It's the first time I've ever been on these huge ships." And so we got out to sea, and one night, you know, there's a natural rhythm of the waves. But then one night the wind picked up and the waves slapped the side of the boat and it was pretty windy. And so I went out on deck and this is cool. You know, you're on a cruise ship. This is cool. And it was too windy to be on deck. So we went down for a little bit and then the storm had passed. And so then I went back outside, but the wind had gone, but the waves and the rocking of the boat was still pretty tremendous. So this is what was so cool about it, is that Jesus said, be still and quiet. And in the translation, it says a calm or a dead calm. That's power. In ancient cultures, in legends of the sea in this time frame, there was all kinds of stories out there about the oceans and the seas, that it was full of fury, was ungovernable. It had an exorbitant amount of power, and it only could be controlled by God. Jesus did not call on a higher power or a higher authority. He simply said, be still to the storm. In the Bible, Jesus was talking with some Pharisees and he was talking about the Sabbath and how people should do the Sabbath and how they should act on the Sabbath. And he said, you should get some rest. And they're like, Jesus said to them, I can instruct you about rest, but that's not me. I am rest. Now by his actions on this boat, he's demonstrating to his disciples that he just doesn't have power. He is power. This is a mighty claim that he was making in that night in the Sea of Galilee. For if this is true, who is this man and what does it mean for us? The disciples were asking that. And I asked that too. If Jesus is who he says he is, if he is Lord over the storm, no matter what shape the world is in or what shape our lives are in, you will find Jesus provides all the healing, all the rest, all the power that we could ever, ever possibly want. Now let's get back to the guys that were passengers on this boat. Let's read Mark 4:38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Disciples woke him and he said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Before Jesus woke up, the disciples were trying to solve things themselves, and they realized that the boat was minutes, seconds from being completely swamped and sinking. And so they went and found Jesus, and they asked him this question. Teacher, don't you care that if we perish or we drown? You notice they didn't say, Teacher, have you ever seen a storm like this? Or, Teacher, do you kind of have a way out of this problem? Because we're in it pretty big right now. They don't just question God's ability. They question his integrity. Do you even care that we're going to die? Fear? The disciples were afraid. These words can seep into our hearts because everyone that has walked with Jesus at any length of time has experienced something like what the disciples experienced. We felt like Jesus was asleep or unresponsive, or felt like we were sinking when we were trying to be obedient. Everything is going wrong. Absent, unaware. If you loved us, the disciples were saying, you wouldn't let us go through this. If you loved us, you wouldn't let us sink. And then when Jesus woke up, he called the storm and didn't say, hey guys, I understand. I understand that was a big storm. You know, you guys have been through some bigger storms, but I understand that this was a big one. No, he doesn't ask them or talk to them about that. He asked, why are you afraid? Why are you so afraid? Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking at that time? I would be totally mesmerized. Like, dude, didn't you see what just happened? We were like, you know, chest high in water on a boat sinking. And what do you mean I wasn't afraid? the disciples were thinking, we're afraid. We're going down. We're afraid you didn't love us because you would love us so much. Why would you let these things happen to us? Jesus takes fear very, very seriously. In his most common, is one of his most common statements he says in the Word of God is, don't be afraid. 120 times it says something of that nature of, don't be afraid, be of good cheer, don't worry, have courage. Fear, are we listening? Fear causes us to question God's character. I'll read that again. Fear causes us to question God's character. When we find ourselves suffering in sickness or facing tragedy, we start questioning the goodness or the faithfulness of who God is. We ask, where is God in this storm? Where is God when my children don't respect me or when our parents don't understand us? Fear causes us to become control freaks. Really, this question, teacher, don't you care? Is actually a command from the disciples saying, fix it. Don't you know that we're struggling here? Fix it right now. We lose our respect and our reverence to God because fear at its core is perceived as lost control. Many times this fear results in angry outbursts. We've experienced it. You probably experienced it on the way here. If you don't like the way the person's driving in front of you, what do you do? Ah! Many times the economy isn't doing what we ask it to do, or it's not the way it should be, or it's out of control, and or healthcare or anything, fill in the blank. What we do is we try to control something. My life may be out of control, but my house is extremely tidy. Or I fear economic future of our country, of my resources. And so I'm going to hold tight to everything that I have. Doomsday preppers. We step out of the realm of being managers and we become manipulators. We step out of the realm of being managers of God's things and we become manipulators. There comes a small satisfaction when we think we can have control of just one thing of our lives. But manipulation becomes frustrating for you, and it is very difficult for people around you. Become a control freak does not help you with your fears. It only exacerbates it and makes it worse, and eventually you'll fail. But the beauty of God and the beauty of God's power is the antidote for fear is faith. The antidote for us fearing and being in control is faith. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, for we live by faith, not by sight. I'll just read this to you in 1 John. First John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. John's talking about faith is grounded in who God is. It's grounded in his character. It's grounded in his sovereignty. It's grounded in his power. Fear can only reside where faith is absent. Fear can only reside where faith is absent. Let's go to verse 40 in Mark 4. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you still afraid? Do you have no faith? There are those of us here in this room, here in Tucson, in the world, that take the presence of a storm in our life, a situation, a hardship, and we take it as an indication that God has failed us or his truth isn't true because it isn't answered. Jesus made no assurance for an easy journey to his disciples on this boat. He made a promise to his disciples to get to the other side. But he didn't make any promises where the sailing would be easy. Nowhere in the Christian walk are we given guarantees of clear skies and calm seas as we journey through life. No, in fact, storms are a part of our providential plan as we live as children of God. What he has promised us as followers of Christ is that regardless of the storm, no matter what the blows that come or how big the storm is that we're going through, is that he's with us. And his assurance as a believer in Jesus Christ is that there's an exit. There's a way out of the storm. We may times get down. We get beaten, get drowned, suck in water. But there is a way out. We may get soaked by the storm. But we won't sink to the sea. We have a promise of deliverance from Jesus Christ. If I was walking out on a cliff and we were going, and all of a sudden I fell off the cliff, and there's a little branch sticking out. And if you fell off the cliff, I'm just going to read this so that I can get it right. Because if I don't get it right, it won't make any sense. Imagine if you're falling off a cliff and sticking out of the cliff is a branch that is strong enough to hold you, but you don't know how strong it is. As you fall, you have just enough time to grab the branch. How much faith do you have to have in the branch to save you? Must you totally be sure it can save you? No, of course not. You only have to have enough faith to grab the branch. That's because it's not about the quality of your faith that saves you. It's the object of your faith. It's not the quality of your faith. It's the object of your faith. It doesn't matter how you feel about the branch. It's all about that it's a branch. And Jesus is our branch. In the storms, who or what are you holding on to? Who or what are you holding on to when you experience the storms in life? Jesus calms the storm. They are afraid. The disciples were afraid during the storm. Jesus calms the storm. And then, as the scripture said, they became terrified. I thought that was unique. You would think, us in humankind, that if we were saved from something, we'd be relieved and we'd have peace and we'd have calm. But in the scriptures, it says the disciples were terrified. They were scared before. Now they're terrified. Why is that? It's because they ask, who is this man? The waves and the wind obey him. Remember, in their day and age, the sea was something to be feared. It was something to be cautious, to be in awe of. It had an appetite for destruction in these squalls. Now they were being exposed to that something that was more powerful than the seas. That's power. That's raw power. The kind of power that can stop a storm or calm the seas. That is raw power. But Jesus' power should make us feel secure. In verse 35, it says, before the disciples became their journey out of the Sea of Galilee, the Lord Jesus said to them, let's just take a journey across the sea. That would have been a really interesting point for them to grab hold of before they went through the storm. It said, it was the Lord's plan to go to the other side of the lake. Because the Lord had planned it to go to the other side, it was a good promise. It was knowing that God's plan was to get on this side and go to the other side. They knew that Jesus wasn't going to die in a boat. They knew he was going to be sacrificed on the cross. And just knowing that should be confidence in knowing the power of the security of Jesus. In Philippians 1, 6, it says, "Be confident of this, that who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion into the day of Christ Jesus." We can be confident. He said, we're going to get it through to the other side. We're going to the other side. We should also, knowing that we feel secure in who Jesus' power is, we also should feel power in the presence of Jesus. In verse 37, let's read verse 37. "A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped." 38. "Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?'" Understandably, the disciples were alarmed, fearful. But when it came to Jesus, when they went to go find him down in the stern sleeping, he was sleeping on a cushion. He was snoring. The truth is, things may look bad, and the disciples could have been all taken up and been totally afraid, but they should have known that Jesus was sleeping, that it was going to be okay because they were going to make it across the lake. His presence alone should have been enough to settle the scared disciples. Yes, the storms may rock us, they may tilt us back and forth, but knowing that Jesus is with us and knowing that Jesus is with them should settle it. The infamous Titanic, built in 1912, was dubbed unsinkable. A deckhand reported to have said God himself could not sink the ship. Unfortunately, on April 14th, and we all know history, on his maiden voyage, the Titanic ended up at the bottom of the Atlantic. If there was had any time in history been an unsinkable vessel, it was the little boat that carried the Lord and the disciples that night on the Sea of Galilee. You see, it was written, Jesus wouldn't die like that. His presence in their ship was assurance enough that they were not going down. No vessel that carries Jesus will ever overcome by the storm or buried at sea. If Jesus Christ lives in our heart, if we've accepted him into our lives, then we are an unsinkable vessel. If we are a follower of Jesus Christ with all our heart, mind, and soul, we are an unsinkable vessel. You can be tossed. We can be tossed left, right. We can be toppled in the storm. But your boat will never be full and sink. We can have faith and that the power of Jesus saves us. Jesus has the whole world at his hands. He can grasp everything. And if we can't, we can just hang on with our fingertips. But we know God is certain. He's powerful and that he has everything in control. The story reminds me of our salvation in the storm and from the storm always comes from the power of Jesus. He can stop storms just as soon as they start. The disciples could have stood on the top of that boat and yelled and screamed and shouted and barked at the waves till they were hoarse, but it would have made no difference. Likewise, all of our struggling, our worrying, our fear in the storms will do no avail. They will blow until Lord says, stop. Be still. Or he can strengthen our faith during the storm. I've seen it happen both ways. I've seen someone being rescued from a storm and a miraculous thing happen. And I've also seen where someone's strength through sickness, through illness, their faith was brought stronger. And both were remarkable. Not one was different, not one was better, but it was powerful in the way both were done, because they were both done with the power of who Jesus is. It could be that if you're in a storm, that you're wanting more fair weather, because what you need is a firm heart. You don't need it to be comfortable. You need your heart to be pushed, and you need God to show up in a powerful way. He can do both. Regardless, if He saves us from the storm, or we try to fix it ourselves, God's power is there and ready. We are saved by God's power. Power in Jesus. He's the master of the sea. The saints, He's the master of the saints. His word calms storms. Albert Einstein said this: in the middle of a difficulty lies opportunity. The middle of a difficulty lies opportunity. For the believer, in every storm tossed in your journey, there's an opportunity to see the power of God displayed in and around you. Have you turned to Him? The disciples knew that He was powerful, and they realized that they needed to turn to Him. Have you looked for Him lately? Next time it's stormy, don't look at the sea. Let's look for the Savior. If you are sitting here tonight and you're thinking, yeah, I've tried to reason, I've tried to think through faith, I've tried to meditate on it, I've tried to wrap my head around it, I'm hoping for it, I'm hoping that I show up at church and some crazy dude gets up there and talks about it that will inspire me or despire me or whatever, but you've been searching yourself. What I want you to do this week is I want you to be challenged by this. I want you to say, Jesus, help me believe. Help me believe. And if you do that, Jesus will be seeking you. He's the author of faith. He's the provider of faith. And He's the object of faith. Jesus woke up and said, if you knew how much I love you, you would have stayed calm. Jesus was thrown into the only storm that could sink us. The storm of eternal justice. Of what we owe for our wrongdoings. The storm was calmed when He died on the cross for us. If you think about that, Jesus calmed the storm for us. And if the sight of Jesus bowing His head into that ultimate storm on the cross isn't burned into your core of your being and who you are, you will never say, God, you don't care. If it's burned into our heart and we understand the precious gift that He's given us, we will never utter, God, you don't care. And if you know that He didn't abandon you in that death on the cross, and that He died for you, and that He survived that ultimate storm for you, what makes you think that He can't help you through the storms and the issues that you've got going on right now? Have the guys come up with communion. Get ready for communion. I just want to just take this moment of God's power. We should feel secure in God's power. We should know that God's power saves us. We should feel and know that He's on our side because He paid the ultimate price. And I as the guys come down to play communion, we're going to celebrate communion. We do that each week. We have stations around the room. Tonight, I want you to focus in on God's power and how you, in the fear of how you've been living, hasn't allowed God's power to fully function in your life. And as you go take communion, I want you to ask, God, show me your power. Show me who you are. And thank him for not abandoning us. If you let that penetrate in deep into your heart, to the very center of your being, you know that he loves you. You know that he cares for you. And then when you have the power to handle all of life's storms, it's amazing the security and the freedom that it comes knowing that God's power that are written in his scriptures are there. I'm going to say this phrase to you. I said it earlier, but I really want you to just stew on this as you get ready for communion. If Jesus is who he says he is the Lord over the storm, then no matter what shape the world is in, no matter what shape your life is in, you will find Jesus provides all healing, all rest, all power that you could ever possibly want. Dear Heavenly Father, your power is intimidating. Your power is amazing, Lord, but you love us so much that you calm the storm in our life. And Lord, you pay the ultimate price. Lord, you died for us. And Lord, I know that there's people around this room right now, Lord, that are in some storms. Financial storms, divorce storms, just issues of worth. And Lord, they just things are flooding my mind of the what's represented in this room. And Lord, we want to be a community that supports them and loves them. And Lord, just let us just hug them and love them and use your power to help them. And Lord, move us to understand your power. Lord, show us and build our faith. Lord, if it's storms or if it's whatever it is, Lord, let us know that you take care of us and that you love us. And Lord, thank you for the storms that we go through because it allows us to see your enormous power, knowing that you are going to take us from one side of the river to the other side of the sea. In Jesus' name, amen. Take communion, and also on the sides of the room, there are some people. If you'd like to pray with someone, if you've got a storm in your life that is just overwhelming, and you wanted some prayer for that, we've got them down on each corner. And so you can go take communion or just go for some prayer. But you just focus on this time of just thanking God for who he is, for the power of the storm that he surrendered to so that we can have freedom in him. And let's live out the power of who Jesus is.